bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Gamer Show. I am here with Chiz.
Hello.
Sam.
Monkey Hell.
We've not been here for a few weeks.
That's reminded me of the Monkey Hell song from
Monkey Hell. It did hit as soon as I said it.
Yeah. Yeah. How does it go again?
It's the Ape of Death.
That's it.
Something like that. Yeah. we missed a show 2 weeks ago because I was on holiday, basically.
You selfish.
I know, I'm sorry. I'll try my best. Sorry. I'll bleep that.
I'm not supposed to put a pregnant woman on a plane.
She's not that pregnant. okay, anyway. So yeah, I was on holiday, so apologies for that.
She's 7/9 pregnant now, isn't she?
We've got like 2 months left or something.
On the pregnant scale, she's moderate.
She's moderate to lukewarm. Right,
and
anyway.
Above tepid.
We have a review, but for some weird
Death
reason.
Two.
we really, really thank you for whoever left us a review, assuming it's a positive one.
Second-degree pregnancy.
We've got no way of accessing the iTunes store. Appears to be down tonight. So I got an alert to say there's a review. So thank you very much. But yeah, we'll read it in the next show. So, but if you want to give us a review, we really appreciate it. Head on over to iTunes and give us a review. So trundling on into the moist receptacle that is the news and the Gamer Show.
So I like to think of it as damp.
Damp. Okay. Okay. The damp receptacle.
Moist is...
Should we just do a different podcast instead of games and just talk about what's all we're thinking about?
So, the PS4...
Oh, okay, I'm the ape of death. I just don't care.
The PS4 apparently, in a revort?
Really?
Apparently in a revort by Digital Foundry, claims that the PS4 offers devs 4.5 gigabytes of guaranteed RAM.
Good.
Yes, I have to admit, I was reading this story and I was like, well, great.
The only thing that jumped out at me was, obviously, the operating system's using more RAM than what a lot of, well, especially the fanboys have been...
Yeah, they were expecting a gig, weren't they?
Yeah, but and at the same time, folk have been slagging off the Xbox, how much RAM that's using for, even though no one really really knows, but...
All right. See, I found...
But this whole thing, everything seems to be geared towards, like, PlayStation have just marketed so much better than Microsoft, because Microsoft now, whatever they do, everyone's punching back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, although I would say the past few weeks, the news coming out from Microsoft is looking more and more better and better, because, we'll talk about it as well, they've changed their policies on... indie developers as basically the Xbox retail you can actually use as a development kit as well, mm-hmm. So which is quite cool.
I can't remember if we put it up. Did we put the thing up about Nintendo?
There's no stories
indie
about Nintendo.
Development, and they're happy to work with any indie developers all around the world, except for the ones from Japan.
Huh.
Won't talk to people in Japan.
That's
which is odd.
They like a certain type. The indie developers in Japan make a certain type of game quite often.
Yeah.
Not that we're generalising at all. The
Battle
opinions.
Bleep!
Yes. So
the game.
Battle Rapper.
Yes, indeed. So on that, CVG reported in yet another surprising revision of the Xbox One policy Microsoft announced on Wednesday last week. That it will not only allow indie developers to self-publish on the Xbox One, but that every Xbox One console can be used for development, although not at launch. So how do you think they're going to police this? Because surely, maybe I'm being totally naive here, but I can't imagine that they would allow every single Xbox console access to create a game and then publish it straight into the Xbox store. Because you're going to get some rubbish there.
Yeah.
You're also going to get some... weirdy, explicity, weirdy stuff, I would imagine.
But what I'm thinking more is...
They'll still police it like what Apple do. Is like, you're not putting that up.
But if they... But Apple have a very small... the developer's cost.
Did you just say Apple has a tiny... What did you say? What did you mean?
Cost. Apple has a small cost.
Right.
Cost.
So how does Microsoft's wiener compare to the Apple's in this willy weaving contest?
So my point is that you have to pay $99 to allow you to publish to the iTunes store. Mm-hmm. Now, that isn't obviously giving you a guarantee that it's going to go in the store because the whole approval process and stuff like that. But at least
there'll be a license code you have to buy to use the
that's what I mean.
I assume they've still to get the finer details, because I think the guy who made it was Minecraft says they've not released the details, but he said he assumes there'll be something like that.
Right, okay. Because I mean, otherwise you're just going to get anybody firing anything up there, and that $99 isn't a huge amount of money for a developer, but it sort of kind of pushes people who are just going to create a picture that you tap.
I think. Did anyone ever look at the pictures of the first Spore creatures that were ever made through the game of Spore?
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Kind of 999 penis monsters until someone finally made a real one. And that's what you're going to end up with if it's free.
The same thing is going to happen with that Project Spark as well. It's just going to be level after level of flaccid penises going for your eyes.
Sounds like that wonderful dream you described to me that day. Yeah.
So, the indie developers, did we finish talking about the RAM? Because I kind of feel that's been...
I think the RAM, even if it is, how much, we don't know how much, there's various reports and rumours and all sorts of, I don't think we'll actually properly know until the system's out and folk who are clever and me will have it in their hands to actually go through the guts of it.
I think what we can guarantee, though, is any games that come out on release is going to be using... within that RAM,
but
until they start to kind of play with the system.
But also, like, once it's Microsoft and Sony improve with patches their operating system, it might use less and less RAM as the years go on, anyway. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And but so I don't big deal. And I've been hearing rumors. I don't know if it's true. I doubt it, but you never know. But apparently, it's Microsoft are looking to increasing the RAM from 8 gig to 12 gig.
Right.
And increasing their GPU speed as well, but whether or not that happens
until it's actually,
I think it'd be great if it did, because obviously a more powerful console, console, it means it'll be great for us.
Good for everybody. Good for everybody.
We'll see what happens.
The Xbox One and PlayStation 4 recording. So this has been a bit of going backwards and forwards. So the way this kind of kicked off was somebody in a press conference said that the PS4 will record several minutes of video of when you're playing, and it'll record the last 7 months. And somebody misheard that and said, was reporting that the PlayStation will record 7 minutes. And so there was two reports going out, and somebody from PlayStation came out and eventually clarified that it's actually 15 minutes, which then turned around to the Xbox, somebody from Xbox, I didn't write down who should have done. Doesn't matter. Some dude from Xbox, we'll call him Bill.
Yep.
Bill from Xbox came out and said that they will be recording the last 5 minutes.
So it's just awesome. And it's turned into basically a willy weaving contest of how much of your last gameplay it records.
That is almost exactly how Chiz described it.
He used a slightly stronger phrase, but basically that was what it is. You know, I didn't think much of this. So when we were watching this in the Wii U announcement, like E3 last year, I thought this is a bit naff. And when we talked about it, when these got announced this year, it was a bit naff. But in the reports that I've been reading about this is all of a sudden actually looking like something I might use. Mm. So the scenario is, with the Xbox certainly, what you can do is, if you do something really cool, you don't have to pause the game or push any button. Because of the voice recognition, you can say Xbox record that, and then it automatically dumps the last 30 seconds of gameplay to a file that you can deal with at a later date. And equally, if you don't do that, it still records the last 5 minutes, and presumably the same with the PlayStation. But you've got to then go through and edit it and cut it and things like that. So I can really see a situation where something really funny happens on, like, when the three of us are playing Borderlands or something like that,
or even
and you just want to dump that.
Games like Skyrim, and funny things happen all the time just because of the bugs. It would be quite funny to go, Sam, look at this.
Exactly. I can see that. I can see that all of a sudden being something that I do actually use.
But Xbox has also got, like, it's got an app for its Twitch TV, which is a live sort of streaming thing anyway. Mm-hmm. So I wonder, through that app, you can actually record more than 5 minutes, because all that's going straight to the website. Okay. So I wonder, because you can actually live record, like, say, I could be using the app to play...
Something like this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I could be playing a game, going straight to its Twitch TV, then Sam could be watching me play it through it on his PC or whatnot. Not that he would. because that'd be pretty dull, to be honest. But some people do.
We could do an episode while playing games. Mm-hmm. And there'd be really long silences during the difficult... Yeah, and then I was going... What was it saying?
And then... It killed me.
Just don't...
It's a cheat!
Just don't dip your balls in my... No, you...
So,
and Grant. Hopefully connect with one-on-one teabagging.
So I think that's all the kind of stuff that we have to talk about the Xbox One, the PlayStation 4. But you want to just talk about the ability to play while installing? You put it on the show notes.
I just put it in.
Yeah, it is interesting.
It's confirmation.
It's been like, obviously Sony said you could do that, but
I thought Xbox had already said that.
I don't think they did, but they've said which I'd hoped for, because every game has to be mandatory installed to the hard drive. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you can, as it's installed, you can just go straight into the game, which is good, rather than have to wait, which you currently do with some games on the Xbox and the PS3 to install it on PC.
It's just what I was going to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's quite good. So, although I know on the PlayStation, apparently, because they've been boasting Azure downloading, you can also play games, but mm-hmm. Microsoft haven't said if you can do that with the download either, though.
Right.
So I'm going to assume you can, but we don't know.
Mm-hmm. Cool. The next thing I was wanting to just talk about was the Dead Rising 3 video that came out, but are you planning on talking about it in the things we're looking forward to section?
No.
Right, we'll talk about it now.
Well, you might be.
I'm not. I've got something else I want to talk about. All but right. This looks awesome.
Yeah.
Assuming that it does everything it says it can do.
There was a lot of people after E3 were saying, oh, Dead Rising, it's lost all the fun and whatnot, which I never saw. I thought, well, no, it's just better graphics, larger city, but it leaves it up to you for the humour rather than forcing humour onto you, which is always the best kind of way. And I think they released this video to show that, it's still got the humour. You can still mess about all you want, and I think it was great fun.
I agree. Speaking of the other type of humour, I would use as a great example of that the Deadpool game, which frankly looks... Have you watched anything about the Deadpool game?
Bits and pieces, yeah.
There's all these YouTube videos going, funniest game ever in the world, man. It's really not. It's horrifically childish, moronic, and not even good slapstick. I was saying before, I was watching Bottom. I love Bottom. Mm-hmm. So I like slapstick, stupid humour, but it's just... dumb. Anyway, carry on.
Yeah, sorry. So basically, we'll put the video in the show notes for Dead Rising 3, but the idea is that it's a completely open world type environment. It's just hordes of zombies. I'm assuming there'll be a storyline running through it in some way, shape, or form.
It'll be a bizarre, crazy storyline as well.
But the some of the things that we're kind of saying in the video is it's you're going to have the ability to kind of join weapons together. So one of the examples they showed was that it seemed to be some kind of like chainsaw that they'd sellotaped onto a spade. And then they were killing zombies with this kind of spade chainsaw type thing.
They've had that mechanic since the last Dead Rising, but they've obviously improved upon it.
But what I was, and it was before the show, I was speaking to Sam about this, and what I'm really worried about with this game, and where I was going with this, was it's all fair and well to say it's completely open world, and just anything can happen, and you can kind of make stuff up as you go, so you can like take a radiator off a wall and chuck it. Well, they didn't say that, but as an example.
Yeah.
So you can chuck stuff at people and you can join these weapons together. But I would really like it to have a sort of scribble knots type idea whereby it's got it appears to be almost infinite the amount of things you can connect together.
Yeah.
Whereas I think what's more likely, and I didn't play Dead Rising 2, but from what I hear about it, there was some specific recipes that you had to sort of follow to link things together. It wasn't like you could just take a rabbit and like cockerel and like join them together to make some kind of weird thing that when you pull its teeth an egg flies out, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay.
But that, you know what I mean?
The cockerel.
Well, mine's fine, thanks.
I named the thing that you invented earlier on, so I'm going to name that one as well.
So you know what I mean? Completely open world, and if anything's not nailed down, you can pick it up and chuck it or smash it over their head and things like that. But assuming it does that to a degree, I'll be happy. It looks really good.
It was the features they seem to be boasting about was like basically the organs of zombies, the way they fall out and displays being realistically done. So it just seemed to be quite proud of like our intestine physics.
That worries me. Yeah. Well,
they were saying like with the graphics.
Maybe check
to
see if there's any missing tramps.
Yeah, a lot of them.
They're saying like you can see their fingernails and like when the guy was like kind of leaning over and attacking you, it was. You could see like its tongue and its teeth and everything like that. It was all super detailed. And all the zombies kind of take on a bit of a life of the career that they had, if you like, beforehand. So the example in the video showed there was like a policeman, and so he was walking about with his gun and he was kind of taking on mannerisms of a policeman. And there was a college football player, which I thought was really cool, that the college football player kind of ran at you as if he was playing in a football game, as an American football. And when he knocked you down, he was aware that he was wearing a helmet, so he started headbutting you with a helmet. But, you know, it was that looked really cool, that they weren't just kind of mindless zombies.
Almost like the disease and kind of brain damage.
Yeah, but they still were similarly aware. Fairly aware. I'm quite interested in this. Yeah. I liked the original. That was the last Dead Rising I played was the first one, and that was quite cool, but I found it a bit repetitive.
And plus the time limit's stupid.
Yes, which
is annoying. So, but yeah, it's Dead Rising 3 as a...
Stabbed myself with my pencil.
Well done.
We have the first injury on the podcast. But yeah, for a launch game, it's definitely got me interested. I'll check reviews out and hopefully pick it up.
Indeed. Did you guys watch the video of Disney Aerial? I know it's not really news, but I just found it this week, so I thought it was quite cool.
I watched about a minute of it or something. Yeah. It's just blowing air at you.
So essentially, it's little air cannons that sit around your computer monitor. And the idea is that it kind of blasts different pressures of air at you depending on what kind of game you're playing. So if you were playing like Skyrim, and you were riding on your horse, it would blow it quite fast, so it felt like you were riding your horse through. Whereas if somebody was fighting you in a sword fighting game, possibly Skyrim as well, and somebody like slashed you with a knife, you would feel the air kind of come across at an angle as if it had come off the blade and things like that.
They're also showing like for playing games on Kinect, when you put your hands up, say if you're hitting a ball, you obviously can't hit the ball, but because of the air, it feels like there's pressure on your hand as if you are hitting something, which I thought was like, all right.
Yeah, it's quite cool. I don't know. I mean, I think it's like I would imagine it's probably like one of these things that they're probably going to put in like a theme ride or like a ride at a theme park or something like that before it comes to games. But they were given that example. I thought it was quite cool, so I chucked it in. On the Disney theme, I think this was you, Sam, you put in that Disney Infinity, and then in quote marks, bloody ripoff. So yeah, talk us through that, Sam.
I can't remember all the details, to be honest, but it just shocked me at the time. Something like £60 for the game.
Yep.
You get and like then, $2-3 with it or something.
Yeah, something like that. And then each one after that were
£12.
Which strikes me as really quite pricey.
I don't know how much
is the Skyline?
£60 for the game, though, in the first place. Is that not quite a hefty price for a game anyway?
Yeah, I take it the actual dolls or the toys are bumping that up as well.
But they're actually
If they're adding those additionally to them, then surely you can do the main game at a slightly cheaper rate, like £20, and then...
They'll keep adding to it. I take it there'll be like a set number at launch, and then to buy them all would be like nearly £200 or something.
Well, I think they're going to release them as they kind of bring characters in from old games, old movies, and then as new movies come along. So a Skylanders Giant, which I'm assuming is comparable, is £12.
Which we have been told, and I have to say the little model things look quite cool that we saw at Ewan's house. We've been told it's pretty decent game.
But the game itself, including the disc pack, is £45 on the Wii. That's current prices on Amazon. Yeah, I don't know.
It's probably dropped since then anyway, but since it first came out. So I'd say the Disney Infinity prices are probably much the same as Skylanders. I would assume, if they're trying to be competitive with them.
Yeah, they're also of the opinion, in the article, Sam, that you put in, that kids will have more of a connection with them because the Skylanders kids have gotten to know and gotten to understand, but kids already know Sully and Mike from Monsters, Inc. They know Mickey Mouse and that kind of thing. So I think they're kind of possibly selling that. I'm quite looking forward to it. I mean, my household is a massive Disney fan household. And so I think that kind of game will really go down well in our household as opposed to maybe one that's less Disney orientated.
It was a bit shameful before we had a wife and kid, but now it's acceptable.
It's the only reason he did it.
Just to hide his Disney his affliction.
Yeah. So Morgan was in danger of getting a little bit too old to be interested, so he's created a new one. Yeah.
Is Johnny's Pocahontas tattoo? It's just disturbing.
Gun Monkey cuts price in half.
I don't like how she's going in the cave.
I put that... Oh, dear God.
Me. Carry on, Sam.
I put that on for one reason and one reason only. Can you guess why?
Yeah, because it's got Monkey in the title. But Did you read the article?
Not really.
Right, okay, so the article's quite interesting.
I did actually just stay on the thing.
Yeah, I know you did, I know you did. So the article is quite interesting. So this is a game which I've never played, never heard of. It's called Gun Monkeys, and it's from it's from a company called Size 5 Games. And so what they've done is because they've realised that this game, apparently this game's got a like a single-player element and a multiplayer element, but the multiplayer element seems to be attracting a lot more players. And they're really trying to push that. So what they've done is they've halved the price of the game and given you a code in the game to send to a friend for free. So effectively, for half the price, you're getting two times the game. And the idea is to try and beef up numbers, word of mouth, and things like that. And apparently, it's working really, really well. So they're saying that word of mouth, the game spread, and the numbers have just snowballed from there. But sales are up, player numbers are way up, looking positive. I'm happy. So they've cut the price in half. I mean, it's currently sitting on Steam in the UK at £4, so I'm assuming it was £8 to begin with. I could do math, me. And and you get a game to send off to your mate.
That's pretty awesome, actually.
I think that's a really cool idea.
Take note, Disney.
Indeed, indeed. And every other game maker. Yeah,
anyone.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that is a great idea to boost your numbers.
They're all complaining about how they're not getting enough cash, and and they're saying places like GameStation, GameStop are taking all their cash and things like that. So they need to find new ways to
get games into their hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So apparently, this is quite a quick one. The claims that Thief 4 effectively, but Thief have had development problems, have been blown out of proportion. So that's good news.
It is good news.
I hadn't actually heard
the only reason I put it up there.
I hadn't heard anything about it.
Had you heard stuff?
I saw an article about 2 weeks ago saying that they were running behind on, I can't even remember what section it was, but they were running behind on it, and things had kind of slowed up and it was going to be delayed. Apparently not.
It's not particularly new to any sort of game.
No, well, that's basically what the guy said. So the guy who was the Montreal... Eidos?
I have no idea.
I've always said Eidos.
Yeah, I'm sure somebody will tell me I'm wrong. Says the Montreal co-founder of Eidos, Stefan Astos.
Does he work in the Apple Tiny department?
Oh, come on.
Guess he can you
know?
A two...
roll.
Yeah.
So he resigned last week over inconcilable differences with the Eidos Montreal owner Square Enix. But he basically said that they're blown out of proportions because they're a AAA title, and of course they're going to have issues, and they're just more under the spotlight just now, essentially. So yeah, nothing to worry about.
And he thought the game was looking really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
Apparently World of Warcraft is being made into a film. Let's all rejoice. Well, this isn't new news because it came out at E3 2006, but I'd sort of forgotten about it, to be honest. So.
Yeah.
2006, I don't know. That's when it was first announced.
Yeah.
Is it going to be live action or CG?
If you have a look, there was a picture.
A picture, yes.
Of it.
Well, it's not even started filming yet. It's supposed to get released in 2015, and they've not even started filming it yet.
It seems to be. It's always went mad of making games into films again because we've got this. Apparently, they're making a film of Gran Turismo, which I do not know how, unless it involves a guy getting really annoyed because he can't get his B license to drive about more better cars. Then that's a plot I can think of.
You can see Will Ferrell playing that guy, and he's like a normal office worker who can't get his B-level license to join the gang to like rob the bank.
Yeah,
and his wife's cheating on him and stuff.
It's Gran Turismo.
It's a depression story. He gets sick of driving through the cones. He just commits suicide at the end of it. There's Assassin's Creed. That's going to be made by Michael Fassbender.
Halo.
That's a TV series. Same thing, basically. Yeah. The Halo TV series, I'm a bit, after watching the web series they did before Halo 5, which I thought was actually not too bad, it's got me a bit more optimistic.
Mm.
And Spielberg's involved, so hopefully he'll keep it on the right track.
We'll see.
But, yeah.
I don't know.
What else is... Oh, There's a need for
interesting.
There's a need for speed film as well, which is like, why?
It's because Too Fast and Furious, and that was the second one. Fast and the Furious, the whole franchise. Somehow, somewhere, people still go and see those movies and keep the franchise alive.
When I got back from the pub to Amy's brother's last night, there was one of those on Sky, and we were too drunk to use the remote control to change the channel. And my God, it was an awful. I wouldn't go and see it anyway, but it was an. Awful
yeah, I don't think we're the target demographic, to be
wow.
fair.
Wow.
But anyway.
I drove a Nova with huge wheels.
Yeah.
And I was about to channel Gavin there. I'd take the mic out of your car, but
nothing wrong with my car.
I know there's nothing wrong with your car, but that's what I mean. I was about to channel them. And finally, in the news section, Dark Horse have announced that they will publish a monthly Halo comic named Halo Escalation, starting on December the 11th. So it might be something for the guys on the comic show to watch, but you guys going to pick that up? Is it of interest to you?
Probably not.
There's books, there's novels, which I've never bothered reading.
No, neither have I.
They've done like short series of Halo before, but it's just like a proper starting off like its own massive series.
I mean, there was very little on it. I'm assuming it was an announcement at Comic-Con, but... yeah, there wasn't very much on it, but it's starting on. It definitely said that the first three episodes were going to, issues were going to be penciled and done by. I don't know a huge amount about the comic industry. I'm assuming the names were quite important names, but okay. I don't know.
It's quite good. It's getting done by Dark Horse. Cause I think Dark Horse.
Well, Dark Horse did the Simpsons comics back in the day, you know. So
they I say more so than Marvel and that and DC. They take more risks and stuff and get a bit more edgy. So that could be, hopefully that they'll do like a proper dark version or something.
Cool. So that was
there's one more.
Oh, sorry please go, Sam.
It's pretty earth shattering actually.
It is. Sam can't play a game.
I bought
lost his opposable thumbs.
I bought Blood Dragon in the sale, and the code that was provided to me by Steam is not working in Uplay, which I think is awful.
I bought it through Steam as well, and I remember having, I don't know if I had any problems with it, but I remember being a pain in the ass. I had to take the code from Steam and put it to Uplay to play. After downloading the game to get it started, I had to, through Steam, open up Uplay, and then take the code from Steam, then put that into Uplay, then get work. Although it worked for me, but it's just like, why do I... It's like, ugh.
But I had a similar problem with that From Dusk game, which I've still never played.
Yeah.
I've never been able to play it.
I'm starting to think the problem's just you.
Well, it could be. I am a moron. But
any questions, please send them to at Spunglehands.
Yeah. Spunglehands. My hands are all right.
You lost your thumbs. Oh, there they are. Yeah.
You got
They're just there. Really tiny.
They're so muddy, they're like camouflage.
Okay. What?
anyway, you're right about Steam.
No, it's not really about about Steam. It's you buy a game with one place, and then they provide you with the code, and then you have to register it through something else.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just muddying the water. It's making it difficult to, and then you have to go through two different companies to get the damn thing working.
Yeah.
That's
one good thing. Well, even though it's kind of even it's consoles have kind of started doing. You have to have like a code or to put on the line with whatnot. But that, at least the single player, you put the game in and you're away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and you just need obviously a gamer tag with the console. But now on PC, it's just like Steam, Uplay, Origin. It's just like why? Right, get rid of them. Just one, please.
Yeah. If I buy it from Steam, can I not just play it through Steam?
Yeah,
because like I've got like maybe two games to. I think it's Assassin's Creed 3 and Far Cry, it's Blood Dragon. Those are the reasons why I've got it's Uplay, and the reason I've got Origin was for a FIFA game and Battlefield 3. But it's just kind of, I'd rather
it's
keep
really
Steam,
irritating.
To be honest.
Yeah.
Really irritating.
So, please stop that, because you know the only way to fix that problem is to pirate the game. I'm not condoning it or telling you to do that by any stretch of imagination, but you don't have any of those problems when you pirate a game. Just saying.
It's a fair point. It is a fair point.
Yeah,
it's just screwing people like me who are actually paying for stuff.
Exactly. I'm not condoning pirating games, and I do not pirate games, just for the record. I'm just pointing out...
Because he doesn't have anything to play them on.
Well, that's true, actually, because you very rarely get Mac games available and that kind of thing.
Or anything, any decent...
Are you still plan on building your PC?
Yeah. So that's on the plan for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. Cool.
And what pushed you forward a little bit further on that one, Paul?
I know I've said this earlier, but it's completely blanked me now.
It's a video that I put up.
Oh, yeah. So,
was it Total War?
Seamless transition. Well done, Sam.
Whoa, so that's how you do a segue, Paul.
So, is that now me and Sam have done a better segue than you've done
yep.
in every...
Boom!
So, Sam put up a video. So, we're now in the next section, so this is what we're looking forward to.
And I'm cunningly mentioning this game while not mentioning it by getting someone else to do it.
You're allowed to, because in this scenario here, we've got new content.
Okay.
So, when you just kind of go, yeah, I'm looking forward to Rome, have we got anything new about it? No.
Great.
There's always been new stuff. It's just you guys have actually shut down when I started talking about it.
I'm just going to rescind my threat of saying you can't talk about Mario or Total War because it's not cool or not working anymore. Okay. It's an empty threat.
There's some really cool stuff.
So Sam put this video up, and I was reading through the show notes, and I clicked on it, and it's half an hour long. I'll put a link in the show notes, but it's half an hour long. And I looked at it and I thought, right, I'm probably going to watch like 5 minutes of this. I might skip to the middle so I can make comment and something in the middle so that they believe that I've actually watched the whole half hour. But I was drawn in. It was really, looked really, really interesting.
It's beautiful as well.
I know. The whole flow between being able to have a sea battle going on at the same time as having a land battle, and maybe it's just because I've not played a Total War game in a little while, but there was a lot of new options around how you can do things. There was a lot of new cool things around diplomacy and all that kind of stuff, like managing your cities.
I'm really excited that they're explaining the computer's attitude towards you.
Yes.
So, for example,
we don't like you because of XYZ. Yeah.
Whereas in the past, you've had just a group who are just attacking you for no reason. And this happens in a lot of kind of strategy games. They're just attacking you regardless. Mm-hmm. And they give you no particular reason as to why. In this, it's because you're a different religion from you and you're allied to this lot who we really hate historically. And then you're trading with this lot who are also attacking us. And it's, really good.
Really interesting. And then they have this I think it's a new thing. I've not seen it before. But it's this idea that these champions can kind of join your army. And they're like one dude who's like kind of...
Nails.
Maximus Decimus Meridius from Gladiator. And he could just join your army. And all of a sudden, your whole army, because theoretically they are sitting in camp training these guys up. And all of your army start to level up quicker. And their morale goes up because they've got this guy fighting by their sides and things like that.
Or, alternatively, you can use him as just one guy and send him out and challenge challenge their general to a duel and he'll waste them in hand-to-hand combat or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's,
I like the whole recruitment without having...
Or he hassles their army as well. That was the other thing.
Yeah, and he can kind of take down their numbers. They didn't actually go into explanation.
Presumably he does like little guerrilla warfare.
Yeah, like maybe killing them in their sleep and stuff like that. But another quite cool thing that I liked about, and again, it might be something that came in one of the previous ones I've not played, but was the idea that like before, if you were having a campaign quite a distance away from your like kind of core part of your civilization, where everything's working really well and you're churning out new armies very, very quickly, you then have to spend like 4 months moving that army across the map to try and get to wherever the battle's going on. By the time they've got there, you've either won or lost it. But the idea now that you can actually recruit from local villages and things like that, so if you're still on soil that you own, you can just say, I'm wanting to recruit half a dozen spearmen, for example, and they recruit them from the local village as opposed to you having to like build them way back in Rome and then they get sent out to like somewhere in Africa. That looked really, really cool as well. So, I think, as Sam alluded to there, I've kind of stolen your.
It's fine.
Looking forward to
slot there. I had another one.
Okay, that's fine. So for that reason, mainly, it's kind of sped up my requirement for a PC. So I may be doing that in the next couple of weeks.
It does look very exciting.
And you got the link because you asked for the link for.
Yes, I did. So I'm going to be. Yeah, I was already planning on doing it anyway, but that's just kind of sped it up a bit.
Also, they've added four. If you pre-order it, you get 4 new DLC. Well, it's day of release DLC. Mm-hmm. It's just part of the game. If you pre-order it, it's just part of the game. Which is to encourage people to pre-order, which I don't really see a problem with, actually, because they quite openly said that they're doing it. Anyway, you get the 3 Greek factions. So there's Sparta, Athens, and that other one at the top. well known, and then also there's Pontus, Who everyone gets on day one. I don't know why they didn't just put it in the game, but okay. Everyone gets
it. It looks cool, though. Looks very cool. Cheers.
I'm looking forward to Batman Arkham Origins.
Is that the same, similar style to Arkham Asylum and City?
Yeah, it's basically it's a prequel. Basically, it's set in within the first couple of years of Batman becoming Batman.
Right.
But I'm actually liking the style of this one better, because obviously he's got a different suit, even though there's a lot of folk been moaning saying, oh, he looks like he's got a newer suit and he's able to do more, he's got better sort of gadgets, even though it's set in the past, which I get that argument, but at the same time, do you want the game to be dumber and have less stuff in it?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you want like Batman to be able to do less stuff, have less gadgets, and be a bit crapper?
Mm.
So is that wise to make a crapper game?
Mm, yeah.
So no, but... so far what I've seen of it looks good. Much the same as Arkham City, although it's a bigger layout, a larger part of the city. It's the plot is basically Black Mask has put a hit out on Batman on Christmas Eve, and all these assassins have come down and they're all trying to take him out.
Okay.
And so it's got some returning characters that they've redesigned and some new characters that have not been in that series before, like Deathstroke, who I quite like as a character, and apparently he's going to
really
be like
a really cool assassin.
Yeah,
is that another female Wolverine?
No.
No.
This is DC.
I know, it was a joke.
Okay.
She not Deathstrike, that was what it was.
Ah, right.
Yeah.
Lady Deathstrike.
Lady Deathstrike, yeah. Sorry, that fell really flat there, didn't it?
Yeah.
geekily enough, we got it.
I'm liking what I've seen it for. The detective... From what they've shown off of that, it looks like it's been much improved as well. Mm-hmm. So the actual Batman, the detective, which has always been a weak point about Batman games, and you want to see that part of him because he's kind of known as self-claimed world's greatest detective.
Yeah.
I don't know if he goes into a room and says that.
Yeah.
I'm Batman, world's greatest detective. Yes, I know. Leave me alone, Bruce.
I think he shouts, screams it while humping his blow up Sherlock Holmes doll.
Okie dokie.
I thought for a second you were going to say just Robin.
That would have been better.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. It just would have been.
I'm the world's greatest detective. Who's your world's greatest detective?
Anyway, Robert? So you're looking forward to that. Do you know when it's coming out?
October.
It does look really
good. It's current gen. So it'd be one of, it looks like one of this year's good current gen games before we get the next gen.
Awesome. So what I'm looking forward to is I saw a link on Twitter for this game, and it's called Sky Tourist, and it's a iPad, iPhone game, and it's a really cool concept for. Did you guys look at the link?
I did.
I'll take it that
it
you
was
didn't.
So dull. I think I fell into a coma.
Really?
I just didn't.
I think it actually looks. It's a totally different way of controlling movement in on an iPhone.
Oh, yeah, I remember it now.
So,
I love the music.
So basically, you have your thumb on the left and the thumb on the right and these little rockets, and you move your character left and right through the game.
I love the music.
Anyway, so I'll put the link in the show notes for that, but it looks quite interesting.
Crazy.
Yeah. I can't see any information.
I say Borbic Coma, I just totally forgot what it was about until you played the video.
I, <can't,
laughs> I just didn't watch it.
I can't see any information about when it's going to be out, who it's made by or anything like that. It's the profile that the video has gone up on is under a company called Three-Legged Egg.
Would it not say at the end of the video who it's developed by?
Well, we just got to the end of the video. Coming soon to the App Store. And then it's got the Three-Legged Egg logo. So I'm assuming it's a company called Three-Legged Egg. Anyway,
right.
No other news in it, but it looks really cool. So we'll stick a link in the show notes, and you can have a wee peep at that. Cheers.
I am looking forward to.
We've already done you, Rome.
No, you did that. You did two.
You did two. Greedy bastard.
Yeah. He put it in as that. I was just helping him along.
What does it say underneath?
Oh, yes. Sorry, carry on, Sam.
It's just a quick one. Yeah, I just want to know what the hell's going on with Stick of Truth.
I don't know.
Answer.
I know.
Yeah.
It's like,
Tell me now.
When I read that, I did mean to Google to see if there was any to say.
I googled, and there's no information.
No, they've still not said. Cause
they're still claiming this year, though.
Yeah, they did make a joke of it at E3 saying, it's a computer game, ready when it's ready. So I assume it'll be this year, hopefully in the next few months, but... It's obviously not quite done yet.
Mm.
But you would think that, like, they'd have, if it was going to be the next few months, then they'd be able to say it's in the next. You kind of, surely you kind of know when you're within a couple of months, because you've got to be able to produce the stock, though. They've got to print all the material. They've got to package it and put it out there.
Not put out there, but it's maybe all...
Well, the discs have to be burnt and
set
true. Out.
That's true.
So they've got that process. That's going to take at least a few weeks.
Yeah. Mm. I don't know. But whenever... If we do have a release date, I'm sure we'll mention it. And me and you are looking forward to it.
Yeah. So I want to be told.
No. It's one of them games that I've got a funny feeling that once I see, like, one of you go over and see it at one of you guys' houses, I'll probably want to buy it. But I'm not a massive fan of
Have you watched any of the videos or anything about it?
Yeah. So it got announced E3 last year, didn't it?
Yeah. One or 2 years ago, anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember watching the videos. It looked interesting, but not to the point
it's
that the I was
going to buy it. I'm quite amazed. It does look... In fact, it's probably the only game ever that actually looks exactly like the show.
I remember us saying that at the time. Yeah. I think it's probably one of them things that I'll either borrow from one of you guys or I'll get pre-owned or something like that. Okay. I don't think I'll rush out day one.
Fair enough.
So, Chiz, what have you been playing this week?
The only new game I've been playing lately has been Aliens, and I literally played 5 minutes of it before I went, this is... but I will jump back in and give it a proper go. But yeah, I met my first alien, didn't like the controls, didn't like the setup of it. Just kind of the whole game, just like, I don't agree with this. But I shall dig deep and get into it at some point and report back for next podcast. But cool. I found myself going back to F1 and FIFA and all sorts of games in the past couple of weeks.
So. You know, I'm quite disappointed, Chiz, I have to say. This is usually the period of the year where you spend best part of 7 hours a day in front of a computer screen.
And I'm even more of an excuse than usual as well.
Yeah, I know. Chiz is currently disabled.
Crippled.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you would have thought you would have played a lot more. But that's fine, we'll let you off. You've still got another couple of weeks left before schools go back.
I'll be a week before school starts.
Oh, yeah, of course you will. Sam, what have you been playing?
I have been playing... Actually, I've been playing a game called Empire, which I meant to mention... Empire. Okay. Which I meant to mention on the last show that we did, but I forgot all about it. It's basically Dungeon Keeper, but new.
Okay.
It's mildly amusing, it's quite fun, it's harmless, and it's fairly cheap. So you can play that. But
Is it from the same people who did Dungeon Keeper?
No, God, no. Who were Bullfrog, weren't they?
Yeah. They basically eventually turned into Lionhead, are they not? Yeah. Or got merged with someone or other.
Yeah.
It's probably none of the original people there anymore, though.
No. But mainly, actually, I've been playing DC Universe Online, because it's free. None of us like massive multiplayer, whatever the hell they're called.
Yeah. MMO.
Yeah, Pidgey. Yeah. But it was really good. It's huge. The scope of it actually blows me away. Even on you kind of have access to... I've started in Metropolis as opposed to Gotham City. And the scope of the actual city is... It's massive.
Mm-hmm.
It's really big. It seems quite well populated. There's quite a lot of people going on. There's always stuff happening. I've been... mainly playing it by myself, apart from the odd bit and pieces where you have to group up with other people.
And you feel dirty.
I'm not very good at interacting with people socially. I end up
usually
insulting
just pack
them.
Animals like wild dogs and stuff in your new helmet.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Yes.
You create your character. I really enjoyed the character creation. You kind of pick what kind of special powers you have, so like fire or DC's quite into their magic, so you can be a magic person or you fire or ice or...
So who's your character? What's his name? Is he good or evil? What powers did you imbue upon him?
Evil. I have two characters.
Mm-hmm.
One is... you have to pick a name and all the kind of obvious good names are gone, so you have to go through about 20. I feel they did quite well. I've got Smouldering Doom.
Wait, Captain Magic.
No. That's quite a good one, but they didn't have a kind of badger. They do have cat people, and I think there was like a tiger person there as well you could make, but they didn't have any badger. Yeah, they didn't have any badger costumes, so no. I went for Smouldering Doom. You do realise now people are just going to come over and beat the hell out of my
guy. You, it's smouldering doom.
Smouldering doom. It's really difficult to find because it's a fire, man.
That sounds like kind of a tween superhero.
Seriously, you go through and try and
it's
find
Twilight character.
Yeah, yeah.
Try and create a super. I was trying to stay true to creating a superhero with a proper or super villain rather with a proper super villain. Kind of name and
power of lint.
Yeah,
does he pout a lot?
He doesn't actually. He doesn't. His skin is made of
lava. Yeah. So it apparently it's only available on the PC and the PS3.
Oh,
so I can't play on the Mac.
Oh yeah, that's the other interesting thing. It's on the PS3.
Is it separate or do you play folk on the PS3?
I don't know. I can't see why you wouldn't be able to play people on the PS3 though.
I imagine it's just PC folk just billing people on the consoles, I'd imagine.
Probably. Mm. Ha ha ha, look at all the things that I can do much quicker than you can.
Look at my hotkeys. Mm.
Fool. It's quite fun. The scope of it's an enjoyable game. It's nothing too in-depth, but I quite like superheroes and stuff. So, yeah, give it a go.
Cool.
Was that your noting down a show title?
Yes, it was. So I've been playing Lego City Undercover: The Chase Begins on the 3DS. So this is the prequel to the one that came out in the Wii U a few months back, which is basically it's a sort of, as I said back when I reviewed the Wii U version of it, it's sort of a childlike version of Grand Theft Auto. You're sort of a policeman, open world, jump in and out of people's cars. You don't throw them out the car, they just seem to disappear or gently get to the passenger seat and just let you carry on with their car. It has the same flaws that the Wii U version, insane loading times. There's a couple of times where, or a lot of times actually, where you're sent to a mission and you pass through, you know those kind of invisible gates that you get in open world games that sometimes it has to load the next section of the map? Well, there's a couple of times where you actually get sent into one of them and the path that your sat nav on your car is telling you to go, you go into it for 30 seconds and then you come back into another one. And so you end up having two really lengthy loading processes in the space of about a minute.
I have a question.
It's really frustrating.
I remember you talking about that about the Wii U one.
Yeah.
And you said that you weren't sure, but you thought that the loading times were getting shorter as you went through the game. Was that the case?
No. I don't know about the Wii U one, because, to be honest, I've never really been back to it. But with the 3DS, it was basically the same amount of time every time. The game's got a bit of humour about it, same as the Wii U version. It's a different storyline. The idea is that the Wii U one starts with Chase McCain coming back to the city after having been sent away. And this one is about him actually being a policeman in the city and the storyline leading up to him being sent away.
Right.
I mean, it's funny. It is unbelievably simple, but it is a kid's game, to be fair. I thought it was quite funny. It's probably worth it. I wouldn't say if you're a hardened gamer, run out and get it. If you have kids and they like Lego games, it's definitely a buy, I would say. It's an interesting game.
Nothing groundbreaking.
It was funny. It was interesting. It was
another Lego game that's solid for a bit of enjoyment with kids.
Exactly. Exactly. That's almost exactly how I would classify it.
We have been dull on the games this week, haven't we?
Yeah, I know. But I have to say, though, just for the record, this is the first game in the year and a bit that we've been doing this show that I have started to review on the show and actually completed the game.
Bravo,
this is the first one that I've done.
Bravo.
And that was only because I went away on holiday, and that's what I do on holiday. I always take a game on my 3DS to play on holiday. Oh, actually, no. Actually, that's a lie, because I reviewed the Mario Brothers 2 on the 3DS when I went away on honeymoon last year. And I completed that as well. So, anyway. Sorry, apologies. Anyway, an accent now.
If you'd like to send in a commiseration note to Paul's wife, please comment on iTunes.
Also,
she would be very amused to read.
And if you'd like to name Paul's child, please send in some names.
Again, Chiz and I have discussed it. We're still pushing Dr. Robotnik, I believe.
That's Esme's real name.
Right, yeah, it
is. So for Paul's, I was thinking either GLaDOS.
GLaDOS is a good one.
Actually, I don't mind GLaDOS.
Yeah. Or GLaDOS or Blanka.
Blanka. Because of that video. Yeah.
Right.
Blanka is a bleep.
Yeah. I think one of the Street Fighter, you can't go wrong with Street Fighter, E-Honda, maybe, or Dalsim.
Yeah.
So this podcast and all the others in the British Tech Network are brought to you by the awesome people at UK2.
Baker.
They provide all sorts of fantastic services to Bison. UK2. Guys.
Sorry.
They provide all sorts of awesome services to UK, to the British Tech Network. So if you could head on over to the British Tech Network and then click on the sponsors link and then click on the link to UK2. Even if you already got an account with them, it'd be great if you could click through there so that basically UK2 can see that we've sent you there. They're absolutely superb. Also, if you're on the sponsors page, you'll notice a whole bunch of voucher codes to get VPS. VPN domain names. You get 20% off domain names. I think that's the biggest discount you can get anywhere on domain names. Absolutely superb. UK2, we love them dearly, and we hope that you'll support them too. So, thank you. So, gentlemen, your bargain basement games this week. I can't help but feel that neither of you did them, or if you did,
I have.
Oh, you have? Okay.
I played it.
The show notes sort of suggested that you weren't sure.
I wasn't sure, but then when I was listening back to our Quiz Bash, I thought I better check the last podcast to see if that is that game.
Yeah,
they went, yeah, it is.
Right, so, okay. So, what were you playing?
I also checked, and I played mine before, so I didn't bother.
Ah, very good for you.
What was your? Oh, it was Ghost Recon.
But it was Ghost Recon one.
Yeah,
as opposed to Ghost Recon two.
So, because you reckon you played two, you're not allowed.
I've actually played one before.
Have you?
No, because of the starting sequence of two. Basically shows you the storyline for one, so he's able to tell us.
Is that not your love film? Is that one of the latest Ghost Recon?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Oh, dear God!
And Ghost Recon.
No!
So, Chiz, Frontlines, what was it like?
Awful.
Okay.
It was just, for a first-person shooter, just one of the worst sort of unsatisfying controls-wise, looks-wise, gun-wise. It just didn't feel satisfying at all. And the enemies, just when they appear on screen, as soon as you're vaguely near to aim at them, a massive red reticle goes right round them to point them out. As if, this is an enemy, not your friend, not Bill. Stop shooting Bill. No, because Bill annoys me. But
was there a character called Bill?
I don't know. I named him Bill and shot him in the head several times.
All right.
But
did he die?
No.
Oh, I hate it when that happens.
No.
Carry on.
They seem to be immortal, unless they take a lot more hits. But yeah, it's just, I think it's set in another dystopian future where the world's run out of fuel. I kind of skipped the cutscene because I thought, I've heard it all before. And yeah, I saw about, there was George Bush or someone that was in the cutscene, so I was hoping I'd get to shoot him at some point, but I only played 20 minutes of it, so I don't know. But he didn't appear in the first level. But yeah, I didn't even know what I was supposed to do. It was like, go to this checkpoint, blow this up, pick this up, do that. But I was kind of like, probably because I skipped the start. I don't know what I was supposed to be doing, but it was just self-evident.
Can I ask, because they all ran out of fuel, were you travelling around a bicycle or something?
No.
Did I have anything fun like that?
No, like, you think that would have been a quirky thing, you know, yeah. Like set in a Mad Max world where you're getting pulled along in horse and cart or something. But no, there were still trucks and
a donkey-powered hot rod.
And Humvees you could go in. I wish for that day. See,
genetically
so
engineered giant hamster riding. We should make a game.
A gerbil hoverboard.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's not really hovering, standing on two gerbils.
I don't know, you make them bounce. But yeah, awful. Awful, awful,
right.
awful game.
Good.
My game was the same as last time, but slightly more basic. I think the controls are a bit crapper, and it's slightly more difficult to aim, if I remember correctly. But it was the same balls all over again.
Well, that's good.
Yep.
So I had... I think I'm getting the better end of the sword here, because I'm getting sort of modern games.
And it was based in Mexico as well.
Okay.
There you go.
So I had Oregon Trail Director's Cut, which is sort of an indie game on Steam, which I actually think is slightly better than you guys get really old Xbox games. At least I'm getting somebody trying something a bit new. Whereas the new thing...
It's all going to stop when you have a PC. You're going to get the same kind of crap that we get.
So Oregon Trail Director's Cut. So... it had an interesting shooting mechanism. So the idea is it's a post-apocalyptic, everybody's a zombie type world. I had a big problem with it, and I don't know whether it was my machine or whether it was the Mac version or what it was, but every now and again, the game it didn't freeze, but it seemed to stop taking any input from keyboard or mice or anything like that. So I had to quit the game and then start all over again and hit continue, and then it would take me back to the beginning of the scene that I was at. Until one point, I just couldn't get past a certain scene. Explain the game. You start off and it sort of looks like it's going to be kind of a tower defense game. And
did me or Sam get you this
I
game?
I got it.
It was you. Yeah. So I'd have no recollection.
It was because I remember I'd bought it before the show, before we even got
it. Oh, yeah. So it's kind of tower defense. Tower defense may be a bad example. But basically, you're standing down the middle at the bottom. You don't seem to be able to move up, down, left, or right. And zombies are coming at you, and you click on the zombie, and then you drag back towards yourself, like with the mouse, and that's what shoots. And when you let go of the mouse, it then shoots. So it was an interesting shooting mechanic. It's kind of okay, except for the fact that the time it took for you to click, drag, let go, sometimes the zombies had moved from where you originally clicked, and that's where you shot. But I suppose that kind of added a little bit to the...
That actually sounds like it'd be better done in touchscreen.
Yeah, I suppose it would be, but it was a mouse.
Are you able
game.
To shoot where they're going to be rather than clicking on the zombies? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can. So that's where you realise what you were supposed to be doing. It was very, very kind of 8-bit graphics. It was really basic graphics, but again, I think that was all part of it. And I think it was trying to be kind of an 80s game, because in the cutscenes it was very much a static picture of an 8-bit guy there, and then like a paragraph of text beside it that you then read. Yeah. There was a funny bit at the beginning where it said, "What's your name?" So you typed in your name, and then it said, "Do you know of anybody who still survives?" And then it had a table where you had to fill in 5 names, and I was like, at first I thought it was actually looking for like email addresses that was like a marketing thing, but it wasn't. You just had to put in 5 random names, and that was who then the game was all based around going to find, from what I can tell.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, and so you then jump in your car, you go to DC.
So what are the names you put in?
They were really. I think it was you two and Jeff and Bill. I don't know. It wasn't really invented. Sorry, you're really asking for a lot of improv between me and Sam tonight.
Yeah, we're doing a song and dance today.
It looked like it might actually work, but I got stuck. So we were going to so we jumped in the car, and we were going to Philadelphia, and. Seconds. So the guy says, "We've got enough fuel in the car. It should get us to Philadelphia." So we jump in the car. And then it goes for like 10 seconds. You can't do anything. And then it comes up and says, I forget the guy's name. Whatever his name is. We'll call him George. George's broken his arm. And his health meter goes down half. But you can't see him. You're still inside the car. And so I'm like, what do I do? And then it just says, click anywhere to continue. So you click. And then the car starts rolling along again. And then it comes up and it says, this chap's name, George, has got dysentery. And then his health bar goes red. And still the car trundles on, and then all of a sudden it just says you're out of fuel, and nothing happens. You can't click anywhere, no keyboard keys work, you can't even press escape, nothing happens. I don't know whether it's a bug in the game, or whether I'm just being really stupid and I can't work out how to get past this section of the game, but... So I stopped playing then. I tried to reset the game 2 or 3 times, and all I got sent back to was the stage before that, where the guy goes, "We should have enough fuel to get to Philadelphia." Jump in the car, broke his arm just by driving the car. Gets dysentery, runs out of fuel, can't click anything. So I was a bit disappointed.
Wow.
Yeah. But
Are you sure you're actually driving? The car's not just static.
No, because in really basic 8-bit graphics, the wheels, the 4 little points where the wheels get screwed on turn into a circle, and then they go back to 4 points. And the car sort of bounces gently up and down in a sort of a, I don't know, kind of 1960s cartoon style. But Yeah. It was all right.
Bit disappointing.
Disappointing in the terms of the bugs and stuff like that, but it might be my computer. I googled them and I couldn't see anybody else having the same problem, so it might just be my machine. But it was nothing special. As I say, the shooting mechanic was interesting, but that was about it.
Okay.
So yeah, so this time, I'll let. Sorry, hold on a second.
Yeah, you got more games.
Yeah, have I gotten these new games since the last time we...
Yeah, I think so. I'm going to mix things up next time. I think we should just get Paul like a board game or something.
I've got to play it on my own.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Well, Ludo, for one.
Hero Quest. I'm willing to try again because I've played that before.
Hey, as part of the Bargain Basement?
Yeah.
I
can go for it, but I can
give it to him.
Okay, here we go.
I like rummaging in the bag.
There you go.
Let me explain what it is first.
All right, okay.
It's Kane and Lynch, Dead Men. Apparently they're dead men.
Okay, awesome.
quite angry.
I played that as well.
I was just buying back the games that I've taken back.
Quite possibly. Dark Sector.
Oh, I don't remember you playing that one. Try again then.
Which one is it?
I'm just going fishing out again. Oh, no, unfortunately, I've not played this one.
What's it?
Fusion Frenzy 2. Oh, God, it's just a... What is it? A pinball game or something? 40-plus games, 7 planet, endless fun. I'll be the judge of that. With huge prize money and a chance to save the planet, it's your turn to appear on the worldwide hit TV sensation Fusion Frenzy. Spanning 7 planets across the galaxy, you compete in more than 40 different mini-games. That's the worst thing ever. You're reading that. Mini-games! All increasingly frustrating and boring. From sports, some sports challenges to thrilling battles, and your quest to become the ultimate victor. Easy to master mini games for casual and advanced. Oh, that's not good.
Right. Okay. But it's Fusion Frenzy 2.
Which one are you going
to? So surely it's got to be better than the original.
Yeah, it got a sequel. At first, it must have sold at least 3 copies.
So Sam's got the delightful ability here. He's got the choice of 2 games.
Karen Lynch is that was the game that was responsible for getting a guy sacked from GameSpot, I believe.
Was it?
Because he gave it a low review, and Eidos, one of their PR guys, marketing, basically got in touch with GameSpot and said they didn't like the review and whatnot because they were sponsoring at the time. And the guy refused to change his opinion. Got
good on him.
Got sacked. No, this is quite right. And then the management at GameSpot basically all got shifted out afterwards because of a huge backlash, and GameSpot lost a lot of rep, obviously, over that. But I think they've improved it. It's not the same people in charge anymore. Mm.
Frankly, I think GameSpot should have got more people should have started watching and listening to them for sticking by what.
It was GameSpot didn't stick by. He got sacked.
Well, I know, but if they had, they would have.
Exactly.
It's but disgusting.
But I think it's obviously everyone's under more scrutinising these days.
Well, on that note, get rid of Kane and Lynch. I'll play this odd-looking thing.
You can stick Kane and Lynch in the title. There's a gentleman. I'm going to read, unless you want to play it.
Gentleman here who has a very large. What are those? Shuriken? Shuriken throwing star thing on the front.
Like
there?
That. What was it called? With
Krull.
Krull, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't remember what it was called, but I just remember the film. I love Krull.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's just talk about Krull for the next 20 minutes.
No, we're going to close the show off.
Dark Sector's all right. It's not too bad.
Okay.
So, you can get a hold of, if you have anything you want to add to the show or tell
it's
us about
part
or anything
of the Olympics,
like that.
So I'm chuffed.
Email us at britishtechnetwork@gmail.com. You can get us on Twitter. You can get the British Tech Network at British Tech. You can get a hold of me on Twitter at Paul Wheatley. You can get a hold of Sam on Twitter at Dr. Nasty Flaps, but he doesn't ever check it, so it's sort of pointless.
Very pointless.
You can chat to all of us and regularly get involved in our slagging matches between each other on our Facebook community. You can have a look at our Google Plus community. We really need to get better about cross-posting between Google Plus and Facebook.
Yeah.
But we're slightly more active on Facebook just now, I have to say. But we're going to try and start cross-posting a lot more between the two. But we may be doing something in the near future for our Facebook fans. So jump on over there and like us. We'd very much appreciate that. That's basically it.
What?
Have I not mentioned this to you?
No.
Okay.
No. Apparently we're doing stuff on Facebook.
We're not doing anything because we hate you.
So that's basically it. Thank you very much for listening. Head on over to iTunes and give us a review. We'd really appreciate that. We read everyone out in the show no matter what you say. We may have to bleep them though. But that's it. So good night and enjoy your fortnight.
Okay, I love you. Bye-bye. I need a wee-wee. Let's start up a fight club.
Why?
Because then we can crash it all and no one will have any money and it'll be an anarchist dream. And
our fight club would involve people coming to Paul's garage to beat the out of us. All right, Sam, you're up. Even though you've not healed from last week.
No, not again. Please go. God, no.
Okay.
But the fighting...
Why do you keep hitting me in the balls? My face is right here.
Say, oh my God, he's given a third degree purple nurple.
Oh dear. Right, okay.
First degree worse or is it third?
I think first degree's worse, isn't it?
Is it?
The first degree burns are always worse.
I don't know on the burn. That's what I'm really suppose asking.
That'd probably suit like a second degree Chinese burn.
Oh.
is like first degree is when skin comes off, isn't it? Is that not how they kind of gauge it?
I'm not entirely sure.
So that means that would be a Chinese burn that some skin would come off. I once got one of them. I used to work
an atomic wedgie. It put me into a coma.
I got an atomic wedgie at work at high school once, and I fell through my underwear.
I saw someone sitting, a friend, I can't remember who was it? I think it was out of work lot or something like that, and this was a couple of years ago. He was sitting in the stool, I think it was in the G&A, and I just saw like... his pants, his pants out the bang that we were saying, so just went, and the whole top of his pants straight off.
The elastic part
and bits of the first 4 inch of the top of his pants with it as well. He went, he used to run and went, I'm now wearing a flannel.
Oh,